Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preach this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
This morning, I'm reminded of the people who included me. I'm reminded of a guy named Shane Sagaski, who when he was a high school senior, invited me to sit at his lunch table. I'm going to show my age here. He would tell me about Homestar Runner, which was a cartoon that I would then go home and look up on a computer because I didn't have a cell phone, right? Any other 88 babies around? And so I would find this web cartoon, I would watch it, and then I would do how millennials used to share TikToks. I would go back to school and I would quote it line by line at the lunch table. And that was sharing memes for my generation. He told me about ska music. He told me about Reliant K, which quickly became my favorite band, and he included me. I'm reminded of Emery LeBlanc, who invited me to go to church with him. Now, he was my dad, and so it's a different sort of invite. It was less like, hey, I think you'd really like church. It was more like a get up, we're going kind of invite, but that one still counts. I think about Bert Frizzell, who was the nicest guy at the church that I grew up at in Lake Wales. And he was very nice to my parents, which was really something because they were Yankees and they were actually nice. He was actually nice to them, asked my dad about work. I think about the people that included me. I think of these saints on All Saints Sunday because they were the ones that included me and brought me along. They changed my life. Today, as we continue our series on generosity, I want to tie a few things together. May we have a spirit of gratitude for the saints we celebrate. May that gratitude encourage us to give generously. And may we, above all, give with a heart of evangelism, a heart that doesn't just open the door wide, but a heart that encourages others to come and see. Today, the first note that you can take in the Church Center app, or you can take digital notes on your phone or write it down in a notebook if you've brought one, is this: let us steward the welcome. Last week, you saw me Indiana Jones or AI American Pickers, I feel like I bring treasures to you from churchy things gone by. All Saints Sunday is definitely one of them. Last week, we talked about the narthex being the lobby. Today, I want to bring two words. The first one is stewardship, which you heard about last week. A steward is someone that makes something beautiful out of something they do not own. We at Shepherds and Christians in general, when we talk about generosity, we are talking about stewardship because we believe that every good thing that we have comes from God. And so we get to take the things that God gives us and make something beautiful out of them. The other churchy word that I have for you is evangelism. Everyone say evangelism. Very good. Evangelism, when I grew up in the Baptist church, was talking to strangers about Jesus. But for us as shepherds, evangelism for us is inviting people to come along with us, letting the world know that this church is for them, bringing them along. So today, let us steward the welcome. Last week, I asked us to steward the dream well. I talked about how all of us are heirs of a dream, and we steward that dream whenever we put others first. This dream that built this building in the middle of this orange grove, this dream that decided that South Lakeland, North Mulberry was going to be our people. The dream that told us to go to Highland City and try something new in an old place. And the dream keeps coming true again and again and again. People keep showing up. People keep finding Jesus. People keep finding a welcome they thought was not open for them. People get to know of God's great love, which I do. Some of you got an email this week saying that we might be receiving some protesters at our church. I do just want to say what really has happened is that friends of mine who are pastors at other United Methodist churches are getting protesters because we are becoming well known as a denomination that welcomes everyone and not just saying that we welcome. And friends, I can't think of a better compliment than getting protested for loving people well. I'm fine with that. I will also say that the protesters are, it appears to be just like one guy that doesn't have a hobby. And I know that we will welcome and love very, very well. I also, how do I put this? Y'all are my people. That email went out and I got texts and calls from like some of the biggest people that I know just saying like, hey, I got you. And I'm like, I know. And I'm really grateful for that. I'm so glad that we're known for love so well that it makes people mad. But anyways, I just wanted to share that little bit of information there. And so whenever we steward a dream, whenever we take that dream and share it with the world, we make a dream reality. Because dreams without action are just thoughts. They're nice ideas. And so if we, when we steward a dream, our financial generosity helps turn those dreams into action. Because without financial generosity, without the generosity of the welcome that you all do so well, without the generosity of service that all of you offer up so very well, these dreams stay in our heads and they don't go into the lives of the world around us. Let us steward the welcome. I have a passage for us today from John chapter 1. You can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1 if you would like. We'll have it on the screen as well. Here at Shepherd's, we have a fun tradition that after the reading of God's word, I'll say, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Then all of you will say, thanks be to God. And then we add an extra zhuzh. We say the word, woo. So be ready for exactly that. Hear the word of the Lord. One of the two disciples who heard what John said and followed Jesus was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. He led him to Jesus. If you've got a paper Bible, underline that there. He led him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus wanted to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and the prophets, Jesus, Joseph's son from Nazareth." Nathanael responded, "Can anything from Nazareth be good?" Philip said, and I want you to underline these three words too, "Come and see." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Woo! Very good. There's a little extra English on that one. Thank you. That was good. So I love this passage. I love this passage because the disciples are just the perfect characters to kind of laugh at a little bit. You know, they're the ones that if you're watching a horror movie, don't know that the killer's behind the door. You know, they're kind of moving through life, stumbling through it, not really knowing what to do, which end is up. They're not really knowing how to interact in the world because we have this great privilege. Like we know that Jesus was God. Like, spoiler alert, you've had 2,000 years to finish the book, but Jesus dies at the end and then doesn't stay that way. It's pretty cool. We'll talk about it more around Easter, but rose from the dead, right? And so we are able to look back and say, okay, the Son of God showed up and invited people to come along with him. Oh, I would say yes to that. That's a hard sell. Absolutely a hard sell for these disciples. It's a hard sell because what Jesus is inviting them to come along to is a terribly difficult journey to be looked at strangely by others. Early adopters to religions are not considered the wisest And the best, they are considered socially other and maybe a bit strange. And the men and the women that are called by Jesus, they show up and they follow. We have this privilege of knowing Jesus is God. To try Jesus still takes immense courage and faith. To try Jesus still today takes incredible courage and faith. Now, we know that Jesus is the Son of God, and so that makes us feel a bit more confident in the investment, as it were, and yet it still takes courage. To go and find someone and invite them along this journey requires immense generosity. To be generous with an invitation, to say, come along with me, come and see, that takes generosity. I tell you that you're a generous church because financially you are a very generous church. We're able to share the things that God has given to us, not just with ourselves, but our neighbors. I get to report to you today that we have a sister church in Cuba that made it through the hurricane unscathed. Glory to God and hallelujah. I've been messaging with their pastor on Facebook. What a gift that is. They want you to be praying for the churches in the eastern part of that island. But I also get to report to you that we're buying the turkeys for the turkey trot at Medilla Elementary. I get to report to you that we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids come and get candy at a trunk or treat and learn that Jesus is for them. I get to report to you that the youth are having cocoa and chaos because they're here and they're with us and you love and you're generous. You're so, so generous. But friends, you are also generous with other things, not just financially. You're generous with your welcome. I will never forget, some of you were there, some of you weren't. My very first Sunday, we had the pounding of the pastor, which is not as violent as it sounds. It's an old tradition where people in the church went and bought a pound of dry goods and gave them to my family. It was a pound of flour, a pound of sugar, my personal favorite, a pound of Cheetos Flaming Hot Mac and Cheese. A pound of that. We'll put you in the dirt. but that wonderful, wonderful sort of welcome. And this is a thing that has been going on at Shepherd's for quite some time. A welcome that matters. A welcome that is generous. To go and find someone and invite them along this journey requires immense generosity. Friends, let us steward the welcome. So let's look at Andrew. Let's look at our first evangelist. So Andrew goes to his brother. That's who Andrew goes to first. He sees that Jesus is the Messiah, begins to believe, and realizes, I need to go tell my brother about this. Here's the thing. Inviting your family to church is generous. The first person that ever invited me to church was my dad, right? And again, I said, not the typical sort of invite that you do to your friends. And yet, we got up every Sunday. Shout out to all the parents that bring their kids to church, because it is a lot easier to let them sleep and to not have to try and like get food into the mouth, pants onto the legs, and out the door, right? It is a lot easier to let them just kind of rot in bed. And yet, parents keep bringing their kids to church. What a gift that is. And then beyond that, inviting family that aren't your kids is incredibly generous. Inviting your family to church is generous because the people you have been around the most can sometimes require the most. Amen. You know, it can sometimes be the heaviest lifting to invite those that you've spent the most time with. But because of Andrew, we have the leader of the church, Peter. The name Peter translates to the rock, not like Dwayne Johnson, but rather the cornerstone of the Christian church. Jesus says, I'm going to build my church on your back, Peter. And it only happened because Andrew was willing to invite his brother to church. Because Andrew saw something that Peter could gain from Jesus, Jesus saw what Peter could be. He saw who Peter could become. More on that later. Because of Andrew, we have the leader of the church. Let us steward this welcome. And then we have Philip. Philip finds Nathanael, who has reasons. When I say reasons, as a pastor, it's hard for me to not end up talking about church, because a question that people like to ask is, what do you do for a living? I'm a pastor. And then I know exactly where the conversation is going to go. And what a gift it is, an immense honor to be able to talk about faith to people, even sometimes when I'm just trying to order at Starbucks. But it is an immense honor to be able to talk about faith. And one of the things you hear very early and very often are all the reasons why people don't go to church. And they're all valid. I get it. I hear so many different reasons, just like Philip. Philip knows exactly why he doesn't want to go to church. It's because of Nazareth. A mentor of mine told me that if you want to understand who Nazareth was in the grand scope of Palestine in Jesus's time, it's Nazareth is kind of like the Polk County of Palestine. Now, I love Polk County. Don't get me wrong. 863 Pride. I'm going to get a tattoo. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. Pub sub going down. Anyways. In this time, it was a bit of a country place, agricultural, working class, you know, not a lot of highly educated people. Now, not like Lakeland, more like, you know, Lake Wales, go Highlanders. It's a working class sort of place, and that's what Nathaniel says. What good can come of Nazareth? Another way that we can hear this, friends, is, yeah, I tried church once. I grew up in the church, and I experienced a church that was judgmental, that was homophobic, that talked about politics as if that was the point of the church, and one side of the aisle or the other. Or maybe I went to church and all the preacher talked about was money. All the time talking about how if you gave to the church, you would get some from God, which is a heresy. Or maybe they went to church and it was cold. No one talked to them. Or maybe they just went to church and it was kind of weird, which I get, man. Church can be weird sometimes. We're going to eat bread that I'm going to tell you has the real presence of God in it. That's strange, friends. I love it. Don't get me wrong, but it's a little weird. It could be judgmental or cold. There could be insider language that makes you feel like an outsider. People already feel so lonely. Why would they go to another place where they felt alone in a crowd of people? Nathaniel had plenty of reasons to not go to church. Everyone has a reason to say no to the church. Everyone has a reason to say no to the church. It is our job to be the reason someone wants to say yes. Everyone has a reason to say no to the church. It is our job to be the reason someone wants to say yes. We get to live our lives in such a way that they know that this church is different. We get to live our lives in such a way that they know that this community is made for them. Let us steward the welcome. So my algorithm on my social media is really weird. There's a couple weightlifting videos, and then a lot of Orthodox church mass videos. I don't know why. I think Instagram wants me to become an Orthodox priest. Not gonna happen. Although they do get some pretty dresses. I'm just saying, like, it's all gold all the time. It's pretty awesome. My algorithm also has a good chunk of church strategy videos. I know, calm down, everyone. It is some of the most boring content you will ever consume, and it lights me up. I can't scroll too late at night because I'll get too excited. I get overstimulated by statistics. And so I want to share just a little bit. It's okay. You can get your nerd boots on. We'll go a little bit deep. I believe in you. About what it means to be a hospitality-driven church. So, the first thing that you have to know about inviting someone to church, just like Andrew and Philip do here in our passage, is you don't want to invite someone because you want to check a box. Those invitations are hollow and fake and insincere, and people identify it right away. Invite someone to church because you care for them. I know this sounds so basic, but invite someone to come with you to church because you care for them, because you see something that we have here at Shepherds that could help them, and you see something in them that could help Shepherds as well. What I love about our church is that every single one of you brings something to the church that we would desperately need if you were not here. If you were not here, we would be poorer for the experience. And it is your gifts and your abilities and your talents, but it is also just your presence. Being here makes a difference. Your ability to smile at someone and wave, your ability to pass the plate to the person next to you, your ability to talk at the coffee station, those things make a difference. The Apostles' Creed says that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, which means that we believe in the Holy United Church, or put it another way, we believe that when we are all together, we are holy. That means that without you here, I am not going to be as holy as I could be if you were here. That's why that phrase, "it's better when you're here," means so much to me, because it is the truth. It is better when you are here, because you make me a Christian. Just by being here, you make me more like Jesus. I hope I do the same for you. Don't invite someone to check a box. Invite someone to church because you care for them. When you invite someone, help them feel at home. It is very courageous to try church for the first time, to go to a place where you don't know where the bathrooms are, you don't know what the flow of worship is, you don't know if you're supposed to stand or sit. How many of you have ever been to Catholic Mass and you're like, this calisthenics is tough. You know, am I standing? What am I doing here? And you hear that dong and you don't know what it is, but it's the kneeling rail, right? Then when it's clank. I always sat, whenever I went to Catholic Mass with my family, Uncle Jacques would sit two rows in front, and I would always be like in an angle, be like, Jacques, you're helping me out, man. I'm doing what you're doing, right? But church, you know, we don't have kneeling rails. We don't have a lot of calisthenics, but it can feel a bit awkward. When you bring someone along, help them feel at home. Answer the questions that they have in their head, maybe before they even ask them. There's this group called the Barna Group, and they do statistical analyses of church. I know, very thrilling stuff. Everyone knows Barna, right? You read their most recent report. It's pretty tough, if I'm terribly honest. Anyways, I digress. They did an analysis on people that returned to church, or what determined someone responding that a church was welcoming. Does that make sense? So the number one thing that made someone say a church was welcoming, it was not greeters, it was not a bulletin, it was not coffee, it was not music, it was not preaching, it was not comfortable chairs, it was not a pastor that told jokes in his sermon or her sermon. It was, and honestly, this infuriates me in a deep molecular level, and I'll explain why in just a moment. If they knew where the bathrooms were located, I want to be wrong. It's not even close. Second place is like 4 standard deviations away. The location of the bathrooms. I love Oaks Campus so much because there's so many wonderful people that come here. And I ask people, how'd you find us? You know, because we put out reels on Instagram and TikToks and Facebook ads, and we've got signs, and we work really, really hard to tell as many people as we can about it. Do you know what the number one response is? I live down the street. Cool. Awesome. Really glad that I put so much effort in to being near you. You know, like the fact that you don't have to pass another church to get here is the number one draw. The location of the bathrooms and where you're located, that's the thing that matters. And so what matters is that for us as people that, you know where the bathrooms are, is to help other people know where the bathrooms are. That's why we've got that dumb sign hanging from the ceiling, but all of you are also the sign, pointing people towards the bathroom, where to drop their kid off, where the water fountain is, where the good creamer is. That's our work, my friends, is that we get to welcome people and make them feel at home. Because I don't want to brag or anything, but I know exactly where all the bathrooms are at my house. You know, I do. I know exactly where they are. I can find them with my eyes shut, and sometimes I do. And so in order for someone to feel at home, they gotta know where the bathrooms are. This is tough for a chapel campus because you gotta go outside of the building and then walk outside. It's tough. It's one of the downsides of having a 129-year-old church building is they had outhouses when they built the building. So anyways, I digress. But then the next thing you gotta do if you're gonna be a welcoming church is you gotta ask them about it. When you follow up in 36 hours, people are 60% more likely to come back to church. Did you know that? 36 hours, 60% more likely to come back to church. You wait a week, 15%. That's how much of an impact it is. It is a short amount of time. Hey, listen, I know that inviting someone can be difficult, but follow up with them. Ask them how they liked it. Say like, yeah, the music was really good this week, you know, preaching, whatever. But you know, I really enjoyed it. What did you think? Can I see you again next week? Following up with someone that quickly makes a huge, huge, huge impact. Let us steward the welcome. So how do you ask? How do you invite people to come to church with you? It can be difficult, right? I understand it is hard to talk to strangers. It is hard to talk to friends about religion, about faith, to invite someone along. It does always feel good to be invited to something, even if you say no, just saying. But it is difficult. How do we do it? Well, let's look at the passage and I think we can find out. The first phrase that I want you to see is what Andrew tells Simon. We have found the Messiah. I don't want to go at it with tweezers too much to pull out every single syllable, but what Andrew says is that we have found the Messiah. It has changed me. An invite to church that goes, hey, I think you need to go to church, is not an invite that's going to work. But an invite that goes, I'm a part of a church that loves its neighborhood really well, and it's made a change in my life, and it would be better with you there. That invite is probably going to work because you are talking about your own story. When you're willing to tell the story of your own life change, that is attractive. People want to be a part of that. They hear your story and they think, maybe that could be me. What it means to us is what will lead. We have found the Messiah. The next one, I had you underline this. It said, he led him to Jesus. He walked him home. He didn't just say, any Sunday, 10:30. Instead, he said, let's meet together a little bit early. Let's go to Black & Brew. Let's hit Dunkin' Donuts on the way in. I'll drive you. We'll go to Uncle Nick's for brunch afterwards, right? We're going to make a day out of it. I'm going to take him with me. We are going together. At chapel campus, I said, when someone comes to visit and they don't know where the bathroom is, don't say down there, walk them there. Don't go in with them, but take them to the door. Don't tell them, show them, bring them along. It is scary to be alone and be new at something. Welcome people by bringing them along. And then the third is you need to tell them why this is different. You know, Andrew tells Peter, we have found the Messiah. Philip found Nathanael and said, we have found the one that Moses talked about. Explain why this is different. Don't pretend that it's easy to go to church for everyone, because for some people, it is the hardest thing that they will ever do is to give church another chance, because they've been so desperately hurt by the church of the past. But a church willing to grapple with her past failures is a welcoming church. A church willing to look at our mistakes head on, not apologize for them, and not cover them up or explain them away. Instead saying, yes, we have failed in the past and we're trying to do better. A church willing to grapple with her past failures is a welcoming church. And then the last one, this is why we're reading this passage, these three words right here, come and see. If our invitation, if our generous invitation can be born of an expectation that the Holy Spirit is going to work in the lives of the people that we love, we have a chance to see the Holy Spirit at work. If you look in this passage, Jesus sees Peter and sees the future of Peter in that moment. Later on, Jesus responds to Nathanael, sees where he was, saw exactly the state that he was in, and understood how he could change. You will see miracles if you're willing to bring some along so that they can come and see. Trust and believe that your invite makes room for the Spirit to move. The thing about Shane Sagaski is that he invited me to be a part of something. Shane tragically passed away way too young, and his legacy lives on. Because what he taught me was the most annoying kid you've ever met can eventually turn out to be all right. Because I was the most annoying kid he had ever met. And I turned out to be okay. But that changed me. That allowed me to see the most annoying kids I ever met in my entire life turn into some of the most important kids in the youth ministries that I got to lead. You know, the most annoying kids that I've ever met in my entire life became people that matter to me deeply and know the love of God because Shane Sagaski showed me what it was like. Because my dad was willing to take me to Duncan on the way into church every Sunday and every Wednesday, I know that church can be a safe place. That changed me so much. I knew that what I needed to do with my life was to help church be a safe place for everyone. It changed my life. And if Shepherd's has changed your life, if I've been your pastor, because my dad took me to church, it has changed your life too. Bert Frizzell was kind to my parents. It showed me the impact that it made in their lives. It showed me how important it is to be a welcoming church, not just a friendly church, a church that makes people feel safe, heard, and loved. It changed my life. It was the Spirit at work in the welcome. Let us steward the welcome. All right, so I have some action points for you, some ways that you can put this sermon into work, make it work for you so that you can work for the gospel. The first one is this. I want you to make your pledge card with your neighborhood in mind. Some of you have already gotten your letter. Some of you haven't gotten your letter just yet. But next week, we'll have pledge cards out for everyone to take and participate in what God is doing through this church in our neighborhood. I want you to take that pledge card. It says how much you're intending to give for the year. And I want you to pray about your neighborhood while you make it. And I want you to make your pledge card with your neighborhood in mind. What I love about being a part of this church is not only do we say that we welcome everyone, but we also invest in welcoming everyone. Like, we pay for coffee. We make sure that the place is clean. We've got lovely Christ-like servants that vacuum this carpet every single week, and it looks beautiful. I don't know if you understand this, but a dirty bathroom is not welcoming. And we've had that, let's be clear. Like, we have definitely had some dirty toilets in this church, and now we don't, because we have saints that invest in our church through that. To be a part of this church is to invest in the welcome. We want to make the welcome so wide that everyone in the world could be here. The second is I want you to be generous with your invitation because you are grateful. The reason why we give is gratitude. The reason why we give financially or with our time or with our talent is because of gratitude. If it wasn't for gratitude, we would not be generous. End of story. The reason why all of you are generous with your welcome is because someone was generous with their welcome to you. The reason why you are generous with your finances is because you understand that God has given you something that you can make something beautiful out of that you don't even own. When we are generous because of gratitude, it changes the way that we think. I want you to invite with gratitude as well. Remember who first invited you and invite someone else because of that. Let us steward the welcome. We read this passage and we find the first disciples. These first disciples did not know what was coming for them. I cannot wait to see what comes for us as we steward the welcome. Let's pray together. Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week and be blessed.